Army and from the Air Force anyway. So I was getting all these offers, and it looked, you know, and when they were explaining everything about what it meant to be part of the military, it looked very enticing. But I ended up deciding to go to college first, and I thought to myself, I was like, well, I'll go to college, and then I can enlist later. That didn't happen. But around the time, I remember I was 18 years old in the freshman year of college. You know, of course, 9/11 had happened my senior year. And so that was 2001. And so anyway, the next year is when the United States decided to engage in Afghanistan in the Shock and Awe campaign. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? If I had decided to enlist in the military, I could have been shipped over to Afghanistan. And Lord knows, and when I think about it now, I may or may not be here speaking to you. And I may or may not have even, you know, reconnected and rekindled a romance with my wife, and us got married and have kids and all of that. There's like all these repercussions, right? But I want you to know something, and this is something that we don't really use this kind of language a lot here. But even though I did not enlist in the military and I wasn't shipped out to Afghanistan, even though I stayed here, this whole time I have been waging war. I have been in a battle. I have been engaged with an enemy. Okay, even though I never went to the military. And so newsflash for everybody. Everybody here has also been in a war and in a battle. Since you gave your life over to God, since you decided to give your life and become disciples of Christ, if you have, and you've decided to follow him, you have been adopted into a family, right? His blood covers you. His blood is within you. And we've been grafted in, is what we say. We've been grafted into a family. But that family is part of a kingdom. Our family is part of a kingdom that's not of this world. And that kingdom has been waging war for all eternity. So whether or not you realize it, or whether or not you think, you know, you have to be part of it, you are part of a spiritual war. Okay? And so if all of us are soldiers, then at different points throughout our journey, we are all engaging in battles. And the enemy, he's not that strong, he's not that powerful, but he's very smart. And he knows how to pick and choose his battles with us. Amen? It's not a coincidence that this week you might have come up against some trials and tribulations. It's not a coincidence that sickness has maybe reared its ugly head against you or your family. Amen? It's not a coincidence that your finances may be in shambles. Okay? Because the enemy knows how to pick and choose his battles wisely. And what he does is that since you were born, and then while you were growing up as a kid, and then you were starting to develop habits as a teenager, and then all the way up until, even if you gave your life to the Lord at a very young age, he's been watching you, right? He's been studying you. And why he's so smart and how he can choose his battles so wisely is because he knows how to fight you. He knows where to get you, okay? And a lot of us don't realize it. We can't see it. Now, this whole summer, we are in a series called Heaven Meets Earth, okay? And it's our summer series out of the book of Acts. And the apostles in the book of Acts in the early church, they really were in tune with the battle that was going on. As soon as Jesus left, and part of Jesus' message, what did he say? He said, when he described the enemy, right? When he described the devil, he used words like coming to kill you, coming to destroy you, coming to take stuff away from you. So the apostles and the disciples were very much aware that there was an enemy that was coming against them. So today, what I want to talk about is something that the Lord wants to give each and every one of us. And it's not so much giving, it's just so much helping you realize that you have something within you already to help you wage war against the enemy, and that is boldness. I want to talk about boldness today. And we're going to move on, if you want to open up in the scriptures, to Acts in chapter 4. The last time I spoke a couple of weeks ago, I talked out of Acts and chapter 2 about repentance and baptism. All right, what it meant to be a Christian, you know, what it meant to actually be a believer. And Peter was addressing the masses, and this is when he delivered his first like huge sermon on such a big scale, and 3,000 souls were saved that day, and thousands more were added after that. And Peter spoke with something, with some gusto, with something that he didn't have before. And he spoke with boldness. And so what happened was that people started noticing, you know, not just those disciples, but everybody started noticing that there's something that the apostles have that we need. These were believers who wanted to spread the gospel, right? These were believers who wanted to wage war against the enemy by spreading the love and mercy and the gospel of Christ. So they wanted something. And so what happened was in Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, they came to the Lord and they prayed for something. And this is something we're going to do later. And just, I'm not going to speak that long, probably about in the next 10 or 15 minutes. They prayed for something. And in verse 29, it says this, "Now, Lord, look on their threats," meaning the enemies, and he was speaking about Pontius Pilate and Herod and the people who put Jesus to death. He said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And in verse 31 it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They spoke with boldness. And as believers, this is something we need. If we don't have, this is something we need to pray for, is boldness. So when you think of boldness, when you think of the word being bold, there's just few images that kind of come to mind, like in fashion. When you say a woman is wearing some very bold colors today, you know, you think of what? You think of like bright, vibrant colors, right? If any of you have ever had to do any like data entry or word processing using Microsoft Word, well, what do you do when you highlight a word and you want it to stand out? What do you click? Bold, right? So what is boldness? If you look in the dictionary, here's some words that kind of pop out. And I want you to be honest. And as I say these words, I want you to think, does this align with, and it's not necessarily your personality, but with the way you speak about the Lord, the way you share what Jesus is doing, okay? Fearless, daring, courageous, arresting, like making people stop and look, provocative, strikingly different, unconventional. You know, a lot of the times and for a lot of my life, I got to be honest, when I spoke about the Lord, if I did at all, okay, these were not the words that I would use to describe the way I was speaking. Am I the only one? No. Okay. It is not something that comes naturally. It is not something that, you know, and if you were to take a poll and they've done this, what's the number one fear people have? It's not death. Public speaking. People would rather die than be the guy speaking at a person's funeral. Okay? That's how serious it is, getting up in front of people and having to speak. Now, you may think, you know, wow, Steve, well, you get up there and you're playing the guitar and you're singing and you get up there and you're preaching and stuff. You're a man of boldness, and I'm really not. If you put, you know, a crowd of people like this, you know, I can do okay. If I have to witness to one person right in front of me, one or two people, or there's somebody I know that's curious and asking questions, and in my mind, I get so tense, and I'm like, oh my God, and my mind starts going. I was having a conversation with a friend this week, and this person is not a Christian. And this person had a lot of questions and was wondering. And so the wheels in my, I was like, what do I say? What are the right words here? What are the right words here? And for the first few minutes, this is what I was thinking. But then I realized, I don't have to do that, right? I'm just going to speak with boldness based on what? My heart. Based on what the Lord has inscribed on it. Based on the Holy Spirit and what He's saying, right? And it was great. It was great after that. We had a wonderful conversation because I wasn't thinking about it. But for most of us, boldness just does not come naturally. And this is why we need to pray for it. We need to pray. And this is, the apostles realized it, and this is what they did in Acts 4 and 31. So guess what? They prayed for boldness, and what happened? They received boldness, okay? They started walking and speaking with boldness. And so right after that, the church just exploded. It was already garnering a bunch of believers every single day. I mean, people were gathering in masses. But something happened. It got too popular, especially for the religious leaders. It just got too popular too fast. And people started not showing up to church on Sunday at the synagogue, right? And they started checking out this weird, obscure little sect of people calling themselves Christians that have followed this man Jesus. And so after a little short while, the church was gathering together and they would share meals together. And there was a group of Christians that weren't exactly well-versed in equality and in the way God views everyone as equals. So what happened was that they started favoring a lot of the Jews from Jerusalem versus a lot of the Jews that had gathered from other places. All right. And so some of the women and the widows weren't being served as much food. So what happened was that the apostles got together and they voted a little panel or a little committee of seven men out of thousands. They voted in seven men to oversee that and to make sure people were being served the proper amount of food. And one man in particular who we're going to look at today in chapter 6, his name was Stephen. And Stephen was a man that lived and spoke with boldness, okay? And in chapter 6, it says this in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Okay? The believers prayed for boldness, and they received it. And here's a man that is not an apostle, and yet, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. When he was called, he just rose his hand and stood up and accepted it. He was put in charge of basically waiting tables, right? Making sure food was spread out and everybody was getting their fair share. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet, right? He didn't receive this special training or anything. But what did he do? He was full of faith and wisdom, and because of that, because of the boldness that they had prayed for, he began to work in signs and wonders. So the first thing we need to pray for boldness is boldness in our faith. It's boldness in faith. It's fully trusting in God without knowing the outcome. Their futures were very, very muddy. There were tensions that were starting to arise, and people can feel it within the church, right? The religious leaders were starting to get upset, and they can sense there was a tension. It's eerily reminiscent of something that was happening when Jesus himself was about to be put up to trial, right? There was this weird aura of jealousy and hatred, right? But it's living boldly despite popular opinion and despite knowing all of the facts. Boldness in our faith is totally relying on God, and we'll see right here in verse 10, even when you don't know what's going to happen. And in verse 10 it says, in verse 9, then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen. So here's a little group of Jews from Cyrenians, Alexandrians, those from Cilicia, which is Turkey and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And in verse 10 they said, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. So they couldn't find any fault with him. They couldn't resist the wisdom that he was speaking with. They didn't have any well-justified arguments to bring him to trial. So what they had to do was start lying about him, right? They had to start making up these stories about Stephen, that he was spreading this treasonous language. He was spreading this treasonous message against Rome and against the Jews. And it says here, they also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. They couldn't find anything against him. So what happened? They started riling up accusations. And there is an accuser, right, who is running rampant, accusing. And guess what? Almost all of those things are not true. He may tell you, you know what? You are not a good husband because you did X, Y, and Z. You are not a good father because you allow X, Y, and Z. You are not a good steward of your finance because X, Y, and Z. You do not love the Lord because of X, Y, and Z. You see all these accusations that, and they're lies because they come from the father of lies, right? All these lies and these accusations, that's all they bring. But Stephen, in the face of all of these accusations, because he was a man that lived with boldness, right? And he was bold in his faith. Right after verse 15, all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. What does that even mean? What is the face of an angel? Was he like a really just a really handsome guy? Was he like a baby face guy? I don't know what the face of an angel is, but I can tell you what, his countenance was so confident in the Lord that when you looked at him, it was like looking at a man who saw God. It was like Moses coming down from the mountain who had just saw God face to face in all of his glory. And it says his face shone with the glory of God. I don't know what a face of an angel looks like, but I imagine something like that. When you look at him, and even when he is standing before a council, having to answer to false accusations, being confident and bold in his faith, to just sit there and listen and have that much faith to look like an angel. It's just, I'm sorry, I skipped this. Let me go back real quick. In verse 10, when it says they weren't able to resist wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. All right, this is one of the things we can do when we're engaging in one of these little battles that we come up against, right? We're waging a war, and here we're coming up against a battle. And the scripture says there is one weakness that the devil has, and that is what? If you resist him, he will flee. Well, that doesn't sound like much, right? We just have to resist. And a lot of times the devil is talking so much. He's talking so much with all of his accusations, and he's got his voice in your head, and he's saying so much, it starts to drown you out, right? And all of a sudden, you feel totally inactive, and we start to cower, and then we end up on the floor in a fetal position, and it's like we can't even move. We're completely inactive, right? And the Lord says, if you resist him, he'll flee. That's all you have to do. But when it says Stephen spoke with wisdom and by the spirit by which he spoke, it's all about leaning into what the Holy Spirit is telling us. You're not a bad husband because of X, Y, and Z. You're not a bad father because of this. You're not a bad steward of your finances. You're not a bad Christian. You're my child. You're a daughter. You're a son of the Most High God. Know your place and step into it and walk in it, right? We don't have time for games because we're in a war. Amen? And so, they asked him, they said, out of all these accusations, they asked him, what do you say to this? And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's about 50 verses. And Stephen gave him this long explanation. He didn't even say, no, I'm not doing any of that. He used that time to be bold with his message. And for about 50 verses, he retells the whole story of Israel. He retells God's covenant with Abraham. And he retells Moses going before the Pharaoh, and then God delivering the people of Egypt, and then God delivering them out in the tabernacle, and then God showing up in the temple. And basically by the end of it, the whole gist of it was God's presence was with you then, and God's presence is with you now. But from here on out, the presence of the Lord wants to live inside of you. Because as the psalm says, the earth is my footstool. Who should build a house where I can be, right? What can contain the presence of the Lord? And Stephen shared that the Holy Spirit that you grieve, that you reject, wants to live in each and every one of us, right? And in verse 51, he was bold with his words, and he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Ooh, that's being very bold with your words to accusers who are accusing you of blasphemy and treason, right? And in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Have you ever gotten so mad that you start just like, nobody raise your hand, but you're just like, you start gnashing at the teeth, right? You start getting riled up. You're kind of mad. So at this point, they're like, but they're not sent over the edge until Stephen says this here. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This is what sent them over the edge. How dare this man not only come and tell us that our way of life is null and void, is no longer applicable anymore. How dare he come and totally destroy our cultural, our spiritual, our racial identity. Everything that we think about God has now, he's coming and telling us it doesn't matter. And this is why I say it's eerily reminiscent of something that Jesus did. Remember, he's walking to Jerusalem. He curses the fig tree. He walks into Jerusalem on the donkey, and the first thing he does is go to the temple, and he starts flipping tables. He starts wanting to introduce a new way of living, this kingdom way of living, right? The way that God wants to come in and live within each and every one of us. he started talking to the temple like, I can destroy this temple, and in 3 days it'll be rebuilt. What does that even mean? And so when Stephen says something like, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What kind of nerve, what kind of gall does this guy must have to tell us that he sees heaven? And not only that, but the Son of Man, a reference made to the book of Isaiah, right? The Son of Man, our Messiah, how dare you? And what's interesting in verse 56, right? As he says all of this and as he gave his answer, it says, the Son of Man was standing at the right hand of God. You know, throughout the Bible, there's, I don't want to give you a figure off the top of my head, but anytime it references Jesus in heaven next to the throne of God, what's he doing? He's seated. He's seated just like this. And this is the only time when it describes Jesus next to the throne of God standing. And you could almost see it as Stephen was delivering his message and then the heavens opened up. Look at Jesus' seal of approval, right? He stands up like this, lifts up his hands, and he's like, yes, man, yes. Finally, they're hearing it for themselves. And this is what sent them over the edge. It says, then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They just went crazy and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. We'll learn about him later. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So Stephen becomes the first martyr of the Christian church. And it's almost a direct reflection of how Jesus was killed and how Jesus was dead. And even unto death, Stephen was bold with his grace. Stephen was bold with his mercy. And just as Jesus has said, Lord, do not hold this against them, what does Stephen say? He said, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And he becomes the first martyr of the Christian church. And the church is scattered, and the religious leaders think they won, you know, finally. But they didn't know that when they scattered the people, they also scattered the gospel. And like a virus, wherever those people went, the gospel was shared all throughout the lands. Okay? And we'll learn about that a little later. But I'm going to ask Kathleen to come up in just a couple of minutes here. Because boldness is something that we need. And if you're walking around and you feel like, I could be more bold with my finances. I could be more bold with my marriage. I could be more bold with my parenting. I could be more bold with just my everyday living. When you ask, they did a research poll at a assisted living community. And besides dental hygiene as being the number one thing that people wish they, if they could do it all over again, as the number one thing people wish they took care of. They said that taking risks was the number one thing they could, if they could go back in time and redo everything, taking more risks was what they wanted to do. And I know a lot of it is based out of fear. And I know a lot of it is based out of the unknowing. But if we're bold with our faith in the Holy Spirit, not knowing the outcome, if we're bold with our words against the devil, against his accusations, he's going to flee. And we're bold with our actions, even unto death. What that means is boldness, acting based upon truth and his word rather than our desires. Rather than our flesh. So in that moment, Stephen could have resisted them and resisted them with their words by making up some lies or something. Hey, I didn't do any of that. I didn't do any of that. Just try and get out of it. But his instinct of self-preservation is what he had to resist, right? And he had to act boldly based on the Spirit and based on God's word and based on the faith that the Lord would see him through even unto death. And that's something we don't usually talk about here in church, right? I don't think anybody here wants to become a martyr, right? I mean, our flesh is like, oh, I don't know. I mean, if the time came, I know I would stand for God. I know I would choose him over my own life. But nobody's looking out going trying to be a martyr, right? And probably, there probably won't be any of us here that will ever be faced with that kind of a decision. But we are faced with that kind of a decision. You're all called to be martyrs. We're all called to die to ourselves. We're all called to lay down our lives for him every single day. Every morning we wake up. You're to be a martyr to yourself, right? Because we're a part of this kingdom. So Kathleen, if you can come up, please. And we're going to take the, I'm going to ask her to just share a few words and then just pray a prayer of boldness. And everybody's welcome to receive that this morning.